light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the even and the first and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop reading right there. Amen. And refer back to some of these verses later on. Lift your hands. Ask God to help us here. Amen. Tonight. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you'd touch us with your good spirit. Anoint us. Help us to preach before this people, Lord, that we've ministered to for a long time. Give us a fresh touch. Give them a fresh touch. Open their ears to hear, their hearts to receive. Touch every new convert, each one that's made a start toward heaven. Help us, O Lord, to say something that would be edifying and profitable. God, I pray tonight that your Spirit would fill this place. Fill my temple, Lord. Let me speak and preach with the ability that you've given me. Let me speak the oracles of God. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, amen. We have here in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, amen. And there is a law in Bible study called the law of first mention. And many times when something is mentioned in the Scripture, that thought or that principle, unwavering and not vacillating at all, amen, makes its way through, amen, the entire Scripture. God is a God that does not change. He's a God that, amen, there's no shadow of turning in Him. But we find here, and Brother Marquis preached on it the other night, when he got to talking about, amen, that first work of God. Amen, that first day was the work of God in us. Amen. When we were full of darkness, when we were full of our own ways, when we were full of our own desires, when we were going astray like lambs, amen, from God, it was that work like God did, amen, the work of God that was in us. And I want to tell you tonight, the most important work, amen, that goes on in a man is that which goes on from the inside. Are you hearing me? For the Bible said, from out of the abundance of the mouth, amen, or from the abundance of the heart, rather, the mouth speaketh. And he said to diligently keep your heart. From out of your heart, amen, flow all the issues of life. And I want you to know there is a work, amen, that takes place in a man when he gets born again. One man said it was the power, amen, the expulsating power of the first affection. Amen. And let me tell you, our first affections were to love ourselves and to love sin and to love this world. But when a man gets born again, there is a new affection that comes into his life. And that power of God that works in him, it begins to drive out and expel, amen, the darkness, and drive out and expel the hatred, and drive out and expel, amen, the bitterness and all those different things. Amen. Are you hearing me? So we see this work of God, amen, in these first few verses, and it is the work of light. Amen. Jesus come into this world. He was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But we must realize that here in this first chapter, after God said, let there be light, amen, and there was light, that God divided the light from the darkness. And then in the second day, the Bible said, God said, let there be
amen, a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide, glory, the waters from the water. Oh, come on, somebody help me here. I want to tell you, with God, amen, there has always been a division. With God, there's always been a dividing line. Light cannot have communion with darkness. Amen. Evil cannot have, amen, communion with holy. Amen. There is always a dividing line. You can't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the boundary line. Amen. When God does a work in your life, amen, either you become light, amen, or you, amen, stay in darkness. There's no middle ground. When you get born again, there has got to be a transformation. When you get born again, something takes place. You think different. You talk different. You love the things you used to hate, and you hate the things you used to love. I'm telling you, that is a born again experience. Amen. I want to tell you here tonight, amen, glory, I need the Lord to help me. Amen, I need the Lord to help me. There's nothing any harder, hallelujah, in life than realizing that when you truly get born again, and when you really get saved, amen, that there is a, amen, there has got to be a change in your life. Amen. Jesus said it like this in Luke 14, verse 26. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Did you get what Jesus said? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, amen, come on, he cannot be my disciple. I know that this is demanding. I know that it is strenuous and it's heart-searching. Amen. But experience shows in the Christian faith that many times the greatest foes to a man's conversion is those of his own house. Amen. When grace appears, there becomes a collision of opinions. Amen. Come on now. Everybody has an opinion. Amen. The worldling has an opinion. The philosopher has an opinion. Even the hypocrite has an opinion. But Jesus said, if a man does not hate his father and mother, wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, come on now, he cannot be my disciple. Now what's Jesus saying there? When he says hate, he's not meaning like you and I mean hate. When we think of hate, we think of somebody we despise. We think of somebody that is despicable. We think of somebody that has injured us and hurt us. Amen. And that natural feeling in the human heart is to hate them, is to be vengeful, is to be unforgiving. Oh, I need to preach and I need the Lord to help me. But amen, this hate that Jesus is talking about, amen, is a love that is lesser. What Jesus is saying, if you're going to have, amen, love me, you've got to love your father less than you love me. You've got to love your mother less than you love me. You've got to love your children less than you love me. You've got to love your brethren less than you love me. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, Jesus says when you get born again, amen, he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. Oh, come on now. Whose side are you on? If you're going to be on the Lord's side, you've got to love him supremely. You've got to love him with all your heart. You've got to love him with all your strength and all your might. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! You see the acid test. Amen. And some of our new ones are not here tonight. Wish they would have been. Amen. But I'm just preaching what I feel like preaching here tonight. But the acid test of the new convert that wants to become a disciple is this. He must be willing to offend his family more than he's willing to offend Christ. Come on now. To displease those whom we love here Amen. Rather than displease that one who died at Calvary, stretched out his hands, amen, took the stripes on his back, amen, took the buffeting to his face, the plucking of his beard, the spitting in his face. Amen. Come on now. It's a heavy cross. Come on now. Hallelujah. To disagree with those that we love. Come on now. But it's never right to do wrong in order to believe, amen, please them that we live with. You gotta love Jesus more. Do you love Him more this morning or this evening than you do anything else? I know it's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. Jesus said it, not me. Jesus said it. Oh, hallelujah. If any man, hallelujah, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, Jesus said, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Even what Jesus is saying, even you've got to be willing to lose this natural life. You've got to be willing to lose this temporal life. You've got to be willing to give up on yourself, even your ambitions, your dreams, your desires. And when you follow Christ, there ought to be one ambition. I remember Brother and Sister Savage singing, amen, that old song in Export when I first went there and I first got saved. Amen, I have but one goal. Come on now. Amen, I listened to him preach it. He wasn't much older then than I am now. And I heard him sing it. Hallelujah. One goal. I want to tell you, if you're going to make it to heaven, you need to be one-minded. You need to have one goal. Your eye needs to be single. You need to fix your heart on the prize. You need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Oh, I don't want to be too hard here today. You see, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, amen, you've got to learn to love folks lesser. Love your own dreams lesser than what you love me. Doesn't matter if it's me as a preacher, amen, or whoever it may be. You see, Jesus said, if you're going to be a disciple, deny yourself. The marks of a disciple are this. There are nine of them. I'm not going to preach on them, but I'm going to name them to you tonight. Nine marks of a disciple. Number one, amen, is to leave kindred. That's found in Luke 14, 26a. Come on now, the first part of that verse. The second verse is hating self, loving less the Lord. Amen, loving, amen, everything less than you love the Lord. Have dealt with that. Then number three, the bearing of the cross. Number four is following Christ. Number five is being willing to forsake our possessions. Number eight is continuing in Christ's Word. Oh, come on now. Now let me tell you something. If you're going to be His disciple, you've got to continue in the things that He said. He cannot be Lord of your life if you're telling Jesus what to do, and you're telling Jesus where you want to go, and you're telling Christ how you want to live. Amen. In order for Him to be Lord, He's got to be Lord of your hands. He's got to be Lord of your feet. He's got to be Lord of your eyes. He's got to be Lord of your tongue. He's got to be Lord of everything in your life. Come on, somebody. Amen. I know I'm not a shiny evangelist here tonight, but I come to tell you that if you're going to make it to heaven, you've got to love Him with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Then He said, they'll know you're my disciple if you have love one for another. Whew. You go around, you're always spiteful, spitting nails. Amen. Never smiling. I know we probably all have moments like that. Hallelujah. But if that is your overruling personality, you don't love anybody. You don't love the brethren. You can't be His disciple. He didn't say if you wear long sleeves. Huh? If you wear long dresses? Huh? If you don't sip on iced tea? Come on now. Oh, help me now. And on and on and on. He didn't say that. He said, if you don't love, if they see you have love one for another. Huh? Now, I'm not going away with all the other. But the badge of a Christian supremely ought to be love. Not a love that overlooks sin. Not a love that sweeps it under the rug. Come on now, you don't really love if you want your own way. But when you want to please God, amen, you're going to please Him. For you see, the disciple is a learner. That's what disciple means. It is a pupil. It is a student. That's what a disciple is. But you know, we're living in a day that people get saved. And I know one guy is going around passing out stuff in this area right here. I won't say his name. Amen. Just a year or so ago, he was on drugs, sipping on Budweiser, blowing his brain cells on drugs, and all of a sudden he got saved. And I'm not doubting his salvation. Amen. But instead of sitting down under a ministry somewhere and learning and being taught and being discipled, he got a hold of some book and he thinks, amen, that he's got inspiration. And the first thing I read, he said that the rapture was false inspired junk. Amen. I won't tell you, friend. Amen. I don't need somebody, amen, that's just got, amen, saved, amen, trying to tell me about end time prophecy. When there have been men that have given their life to the study of God's Word and lived holy lives. Amen. Come on now, separated under the study of God's Word. Or are you understanding what I'm telling you? But we're living in a day nobody wants to be a disciple. Nobody wants to be a follower. Nobody wants to be taught. Everybody knows what's going on. But I'm telling you, if we want a church that is going to be powerful, we've got to have a church that has church government, where God is in control and the Spirit is in operation. And He put a pastor there to be your shepherd and to warn you and to exhort you and to encourage you and to rebuke you. Amen. But brother and sister, that's not our only job. Amen. Then there's a church body that's got to care for one another, love one another, help one another. Oh, glory to God. Bear your own burden, but you need to be able to bear somebody else's burden every now and then. I know this is just pastoral preaching. Boring, ain't it? Woo! Let me read something to you. I know that I get teased about being a preacher and having the John Deere lawnmower. Hallelujah. I can take a joke too. You hear me? Amen. But preaching's not an easy job. How many thinks parenting's an easy job? Huh? Is being a parent an easy job? Well, come on. Why aren't you guys raising your hand? Then why in the world would you think pastoring's an easy job? Because in one aspect of it, pastoring is parenting. Now, misunderstand me. I'm not saying you're a bunch of kids. Huh? I need to bring a paddle to church and line you up and give you paddlings. No, I'm not saying that. Or that you don't have any brains or you don't have any smarts. Amen. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying pastoring is like parenting. So when me and Shay have our girls have a trouble in the home, we've got to deal with Miss Dayla's temperament and we've got to deal with right there. Huh? See them? Dara's temperament. Kaylee, that's when she's the best right there. Hallelujah. Hey, but what I'm trying to tell you is every one of these children are different. You got to deal with every one of them different. And you can't just take, amen, Dela's word, not that she's just that she lies or that they're lies, but everybody always going to say that they're part of the story, amen, and kind of just leave out even things that might incriminate them. Come on now. Kids do it, and I'm going to tell you, church members do it too. Amen, and pastor, 90 people is like being mom and dad, amen, over 90 children. Come on now. It's so-and-so saying, he took my toy. Amen, and so-and-so, I didn't take his toy. He laid it down, and I just picked it up. Amen. And I've got to have the smarts, amen, and the patience and the know-how, amen, to keep the thing level. Come on now. And I'm not big enough to do it. There's many times it's just a spinning, and we're out on the deep. And I got to say, like Brother Marquis, strengthen my hands, oh Lord. Amen. It's bigger than what I am. Oh, what I'm trying to tell you, though. Hey, oh. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Pastor and imperator are pretty close. Bring them up in the nurture. You know what nurture means? Instruction. Teach. Oh, come on, help me preach here. Y'all with me? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Do you get the parallel there? Fathers, provoke not your children, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Just coming on me, Sister Cindy, while I'm going. But if you sit around and criticize Brother Tracy when he's coming down, he's plowing the corn, huh? Calling in the geese. And you sit there and say, well, he could have had a better spirit than that. I mean, I'm at a disadvantage. I look mean when I'm not even preaching, and I get to preaching, my eyes squint, my ears poke back. Hey, man, I'm already at a disadvantage, huh? He would already miss that. But what I'm trying to say, hey man, we're so tough on the preacher when he gets to coming down that he don't have the right spirit when he's trying to handle 90 that are under his care. And then you go home and you lose it on your little child who's your flesh and blood. Huh? Oh, don't act like you don't ever holler at them when you're not supposed, you know. They don't ever get on your nerves. They do. You're the only one who can say amen right now. You might as well say it real loud. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you hearing me? Oh, you guys are getting quiet. But you got to nurture them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. These that have just prayed need nurturing. They need instruction. And ultimately, that's my job. Not to strive, not to strike. Oh, come on now. And it came to pass that then there came two women unto King Solomon that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. That means she smothered it. Are you hearing me? And she arose at midnight and took my son from bedside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did not bear. And you know the story, and you've heard it preached. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you, this child died in the night because she overlaid it. Amen. She smothered it. And I want to tell you, these that have made a start from heaven, it would be better for a million. stone to be even put over your neck and you to be cast into the sea. Amen. Than us to smother them. Amen. With more than they can handle. Amen. Before we've ever taught them to set up, we want them to crawl and we want them to walk. You can't do that. You can't overdrive them. Amen. You've got to have mercy. You've got to be patient. You've got to strive. Amen. And be gentle. Amen, Brother Boyd. Woo! I'm the pastor. I think I can preach this way. Amen. Choke them out. Smother them out. Whoo, let them breathe. Let them enjoy just being a baby. Huh? That's how I believe. I believe that with all my heart. And it's not nothing, Sister Julie, that I preach that's anything new. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, we've got to nurture them. We can't smother them. I don't want to walk around with a baby that I smothered to death. Huh? Because I put too much on them. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord. Here I am again. Standing in the need of prayer. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you. Amen. These that are praying, amen, let's not overlay them with too much. Let's not crowd the door up so much that they can't even get through the door. That's right. Oh, that's right. There is a difference. Y'all looking at me. You can think what you want to about me and question me if you want to, but I'm telling you the truth. There is a difference from somebody that knows better and is just outright rebelling. And when they're outright rebelling, amen, I'll be the first one to preach to them and nail them to the nearest tree. There is a difference. But when somebody doesn't know any better, you can't change the inside. Woo! I preach things around here, amen, that some of my friends would think. Do you realize there are some folks in this world that think I'm worldly? Hello? Y'all think I'm worldly? Huh? There are some folks that think your pastor is worldly because I work with people. And when they're coming this way, I'm not going to overdrive them. I'm not going to force them through the door. Hallelujah. I'm going to work with them. Hallelujah. And then if I sense rebellion, but I'm telling you, when somebody just doesn't know better and they've never heard it and they don't understand it, that doesn't mean they're rebellion. Amen. Give God time to do a work in them. Give God time to let the light shine on their path. And I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God shines on their path, a preacher won't have to tell them. A deacon won't have to tell them. Oh, hallelujah. They'll do it because there'll be so much light in their soul. They won't want to do anything that quenches the light. Because that first work of God is in us. Yes. I'd get some of you to do everything for me. If I've only got you to do it for me, I haven't done it, you know. And that's the first thing backsliders say when they leave out of here. I didn't believe it anyway. Well, they were either lying when they said they believed it or they're lying now. If you want to be holy, you'll live by the Bible. If you don't want to be holy, you won't live by the Bible. It's as simple as that, Brother Shane. It's as simple as that. But what I'm trying to tell you, amen, amen, I don't want to force somebody too fast. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, I have requirements for leadership. Yes, I have requirements even on the platform. And there's nothing wrong with that. George Steinbrenner makes the Yankees, amen, get their hair cut and shave their beards. Grown men, hallelujah, won't let him play for his ball club. Amen. Come on now, Brookshires and some of those places require people to be clean cut. Amen. So what is so bad when a preacher, amen, tries to set up a precedent? I want to tell you, amen, our standard is not our salvation, but our standard is like the bark of a tree. Amen. It covers that which is vital, that which is alive. If there's no life in you, amen, you can live as holy, amen, as you want to, but you'll die lost and go to hell. But brother, if you've got the life of God in you, amen, you set up a standard to keep you away from Egypt, to keep you away from Babylon, to keep the little foxes out, to keep the roaring lion out. That's why we have a standard, not because it saves us, but we want to stay saved.
Woo. Hallelujah. I know some of you probably question this. Our same folks that always question everything. But the first work of God is in us. I'm getting ready to close. I'm not nowhere done. That second day was a day of division. It was separation. There comes a day after they've enjoyed the light. Hallelujah. If they walk in the light, that light is going to lead them through the corridors of this holy library. And when the light shines on your path, you got to do it.
Let me tell you something. If you made a vow to God, nobody made you make a vow to God. When you tell God, I'm not going to do something no more, you better not do it no more. You can't just play with God like that. Oh, glory to God. There's a thing in my life that, amen, I said when I was zealous in Bible school. But it's not simple at all. Don't even ask me. I'm not going to tell you. Hallelujah. But I haven't done it because I told God I wasn't going to do it. Huh? And I could give you 250 reasons why I could. Huh? Y'all thinking, oh, ho, ho, ho. Just keep on thinking. Burn them brain cells. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't tell you. Listen, then I'm closing. Shay, come on. I'm not going to preach these. But Brother Marquis preached so good about that work of God in us and the light. That second day was a day of division. But I got to looking at the days. The first day was the work of God, the light shining in our path from a tavern to a temple. The second day was a day of division, separation, dividing the firmaments and the water. The third day was fruit bearing. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Verses 9 through 12, you read it. When the earth was separated from the water, it bore fruit. And I won't tell you, only when we can separate from the water, or when we separate from the world, only then we can bear fruit. It's not how loud you speak in tongues. It's not how often you speak in tongues. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's how much fruit are you bearing. Come on now. You could speak in tongues on Sunday night, amen, and tell your boss off on Sunday morning. That's not the kind of Holy Ghost I'm talking about. When you really get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll start bearing some fruit, amen, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and meekness. Come on now. I want to tell you, we need the fruit of the Spirit. We're living in a generation, everybody's speaking in tongues. It's popular. But then they live like the devil the rest of the week. I'll tell you, when I got the Holy Ghost, with the initial physical sign evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost, it put a difference in my life. Hallelujah. I begin to bear fruit. Are you hearing me? Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. You think getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes you perfect? Peter stood up with the 12 on the day of Pentecost. The fire fell, April. I mean, Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. He's woke up from a nap. God tells him something, and he says, "Not so, Lord." He's baptized with the Holy Ghost. He's done preached. God comes to him again, and it is the same old Simon Peter. "Not so, Lord." "Peter, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crows twice." Amen. No, others may, but I'm going to go with you to the end. Now he's got the Holy Ghost, and God's saying, I need you to go down to so-and-so's house. Amen. And Simon Peter says, not so, Lord. I'm telling you, that's a contradiction. You can't say, not so, Lord. If he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord at all. And Peter had to learn at times, he couldn't have it his own way. He couldn't have his cake and eat it too. There were times that it, amen, disrupt his thinking, his ambitions, his desires. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost did not come to be our playmate, to be our toy. Come on, he come, amen, to bring us out of this world and purify us and sanctify us and lead us into all truth. Amen, that he might bring us one day, amen, to Christ and to be the bride of Christ. Somebody in this place, say amen. The fourth day, he let the light shine. Woo! Are you hearing me? He let the light shine. Glory to God. I want to ask you something. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. Hallelujah. In the fourth day, he began to let them shine. He set up night and day. And the moon reflects the light of the sun. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The sun is, amen, is a type of Christ. The moon, a type of the church. And I want to tell you, when the world passes between Christ, amen, and the church, it is an eclipse. I'll tell you, we need to get the world out of the church, amen, that our light can shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Not let Satan blow it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I want to tell you, we got saved. There was a work of God in us. Even God separated us. He made us different. Hallelujah. Made us begin to bear fruit. And then we got to let our light shine. Are you letting your light shine? Hallelujah. Are you a light bearing Christian?
Come on now. Help us, Jesus.
Then the fifth day, we find the victory and we find the progress. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. The moving creature that hath life. Kurt, I know I'm in the book. Hallelujah. I know that I'm in the book. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? That moving creature that hath life.
Yeah, come on.
If we never move, how can we say we have life?
Amen.
Woo! Hey, you can't help but move if you have light. Are you hearing me? Come on, somebody. Amen. And said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open and firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, that moveth. I'll tell you what we need in the church. We need a little bit more movement. Glory to God. And I'm not referring to Brother Kurt when I said I know him in the book. He didn't preach to him, but I won't tell you something. Amen. There's too many of you that sit around too much. Twiddle your thumbs. Amen. Act like God's not moving in the house when he's in the house. Are you hearing me? If you've been born again, amen, not only will you bear fruit, not only will you let your light shine, not only will the light dispel the darkness, but you move. In him you live. In him you move. In him you have your being.
Hallelujah.
Let everything that hath breath
praise
the Lord. If you ain't breathing, you're dead. If you're breathing, give God the praise.
Yes.
Woo! And then in that sixth day, there was purpose. God made man. There was companionship. be co-laborers with him, co-rulers. But then that seventh day come in the second chapter, and there was three rest. The rest of salvation.
Come on.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you. That rest of yieldedness. The most miserable Christians in the world are Christians that refuse to yield to the will of God.
Yes.
Oh, come on here. That rest of yieldedness. You got to yield to the will of God. When you love Jesus more and everything less, you can take His yoke up on you. You can find out that His burden is light. His yoke is easy. But if you fight and you kick, try for your own ways, the thing's going to pinch. It's going to pull. It's going to bite. It's going to bruise. But I'll tell you what we're striving for. Is that rest of heaven. And we're almost there. With everybody standing, every head and hands in the sky. Say, Lord, I want to be a light-bearing Christian. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want to be a separated Christian. I want to be a yielding Christian. Hallelujah. I want to yield to your will and to your way, to your work. Oh, hallelujah. Don't kick against Him. I want you new ones to know, I won't give God time to work in your life. If you know better, don't do things that you know better to do. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's things you don't understand. You know in your heart you're not rebelling against truth. Because you can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. I want you to let God work in your life. I want you to let that sun shine in. The S-O-N. Hallelujah. Oh, would you praise Him one more time? Amen. I want you that feel your need to pray. Some of you that have just started, maybe April and Dana, to come on around into the front and say, Lord, I want to do your will. I feel the light shining in, and there's some things that I can't do anymore. I don't need the old man to live. I gotta quit doing those things. Maybe you've stopped doing a lot of things, but oh, hallelujah. Amen. You can't praise with one side of your mouth.
Is there something
speak evil out of the other
your
side?
Heart,
you got to give it all to Jesus.
You
come on, church,
Lord,
would you come around the altars tonight?
Drifting apart.
Oh, hallelujah.
Not
hallelujah.
As close anymore.
I pray tonight you'd move by the power of the
There's
Holy Ghost in this place,
you
Lord.
Can do.
Hallelujah.
That He will not resist.
Come on, some
bring
of you saints need to help nurture some of these new ones. Take them on your heart. Call them in the day. Try to answer some of their questions. If you can't answer them, send them to the pastor. There's some things you can answer. It'd be good for you.
Under the blood.